Good morning. I bring you greetings in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here this morning. Grateful for everyone that is here. Good to have everyone here. It's good to have Conrad's here again this morning. I know they missed a couple weeks with sickness and all the things, so good to have you guys here as well this morning. Good to have Steve and Veronica with us this morning as well. I know you guys had a bit of a hard week, but it's good to have you here with us this morning. And we want to continue to pray for you all as well. Sometimes people ask ministers the question, do you ever get nervous when you go up front? And I'll say, at least for myself, that yeah, it doesn't change when you're a minister. There's still a lot of nerves and things involved. And I don't know, I told Jelaine, I don't know what's with this message. It's just, I've been a mess the last couple of days trying to put it all together. And as I have, I've just prayed that God would take me out of the equation and somehow have free reign and work as He wants to work. But as I was considering what to share for this morning, my mind went all over the place, and I simply thought of the times that we're living in today. You open up your phone and you read the news, or you open up the newspaper or whatever you do, and you look at the news and you never know what the next headline is going to say. Sometimes you read it and you wonder, is it actually true? Sometimes you just, I don't know, sometimes I read a little bit and I close my phone and I don't look at it for a while again. And we live in such uncertainty. There's so much instability, so much stuff happening in our world today. I thought of all the different conflicts that have been going on the last number of years. There was conflict in Syria. There was a tremendous amount of people that were uprooted and moved out of the country and scattered abroad. And I thought of Iraq. Right now in Iran, they're in the throes of major protests. The government is, according to what I'm seeing, the government is slaughtering some of its own people that are protesting and rising up, and there's fires in the streets and all the things. I haven't paid just a lot of attention, but they're on the brink of a total collapse, it would seem, just because of the instability and the insecurity in the country, financially and food and all the things. I thought of Venezuela. Just a couple weeks ago, the U.S. went and arrested their leader. You could say right out from underneath their nose, pretty much. The country there has kind of been left in a it-could-go-either-way situation. And so there's a lot of insecurities and things there. In Sudan, in Africa, there's been ongoing civil war. I was trying to think, I think it's maybe in Sudan as well, where the Christians are being slaughtered as well. In the Congo, in different places, there's ongoing situations there. And there's so much unrest and uncertainty in our world. And then as I backed up and I zoomed in here, just for us as a church, and I thought of New Life as well. I thought of Kevin and Regina as Regina fights cancer. I thought of Joe and Rachel and Caitlin. She's only 10 years old, but she too is fighting cancer as well. I thought of Conrad's. I thought you've been through a lot with your little baby there, and having, she fell and having to have surgery and all of those little things. Mose and Amanda, different ones, and there's just a lot going on. And sometimes it's overwhelming and it's almost discouraging, even for myself. When you're a leader and a minister of the church, you feel the weight and the responsibility that comes. And I thought, what message can I share with you this morning to try and maybe just encourage you and give you something to hold on to? And I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Maybe all of you would say you're just thriving and you're doing very well. I don't know. But as I thought about it, there's been so much stuff going on recently that I hope I can share something this morning to try and encourage you and give you some hope for the future. And then I came across Psalm 71. And there's one verse in there that I want to pick out, but we want to look at most of the chapter, and I'm just going to kind of shoot over the entire chapter this morning and try and pull a few things out. And I think there's some things that us as Christians can apply to our own lives as we look at what the psalmist was writing. Most commentators agree the psalmist, as he was writing Psalm 71, was coming to the end of his life. It seemed it was an older man. We don't know who it is. Some writers tend to think it was David. Others say we don't know. There's no way of knowing, whatever. So we don't know for sure, but it would seem it was an elderly man who has faced a lot in life. He's still facing challenges and situations. He's going through hard things. And so we're going to look at how he progresses through this chapter. So in Psalm 71, starting in verse 1, it says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion," or I think you could say, "never be put to destruction. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels, and my praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." And I'm going to stop reading right there for the time being. And I just want to look at this first section of verses. We're going to break this down into kind of three different sections this morning, all the way through the chapter. But I just want to look at these first eight verses. And it's an interesting passage to study. It's one that I never paid a whole lot of attention to before, if I can be honest with you. But as I read through this, I thought there's so much in here that we can unpack this morning. And I'm just going to try and keep it moving because we have other things we want to do yet in the service this morning. So I don't want to try and take all the time. But as we look in verse 1, in the very beginning, he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." So this first set of verses is him kind of looking into the past. As he looks across his life and he sees all the things he's been through, that's what he's doing in these first eight verses. He's looking into the past. And so he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me never be put to confusion," or I think you could probably say destruction. He talks about being delivered in thy righteousness and help me to escape. Incline thine ear and save me. And verse 3 is what I really want to notice this morning. I actually put verse 3 on a sticky note and put it on my computer at work so that I can read over it from time to time and see it there. So verse 3 in the King James, it says, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." In the NIV is a little bit different translation, but I like how it breaks it down. And there's tremendous symbolism, I think, in this verse. It's a beautiful picture that it gives. Verse 3 in the NIV says, "Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go." Where do you find yourself this morning? In the midst of hard times, in the midst of loss of a loved one, in the midst of struggle and sickness, in the midst of whatever it is where we are this morning, do you have a rock of refuge that you can always go to? Brothers and sisters, for the Christian this morning, we do have a rock we can go to. And I love the picture that it gives, that rock of refuge. Where do you go in a storm or in some kind of situation when you need safety? You look for a cave. You look for a stone that you can crawl underneath and just hide from whatever's after you. You can go in there, you can hide, and you can sit in safety. And that stone, that rock, it stands there like a pillar. And it takes a whole lot to try and overcome that. He says, "To which I can always go." Be my rock is what he's crying out to God. Then he says, "Give the command to save me." Why does he want that command? He says, "Because you are my rock and my fortress." Where else would you rather go than to a place of great safety? In verses 4 and 5, he says, "Deliver me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. Thou art my hope. Thou art my trust." He says, ever since, from my youth, is how he ends verse 5. Ever since he's been little, he's been his hope and he's been his trust. He says, since the time I was born, you took me out of my mother's womb. And my praise shall be continually of thee. Verse 7, he says, I'm as a wonder unto many. As I was trying to research and look up this verse and figure out what the writer is trying to say, most commentators tend to agree that he's saying he's as a wonder unto many because many people wonder how he survived his life this far. People wonder how he's gone through all the trials and the tribulations and the hard times in life, and he's still on the other side of it praising God. He says, I'm as a wonder to many. People are wondering how I am the way I am and how strong I am. And then he simply, in verse 8, he brings it all together and he says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. As he's reflecting across his life and he's looking at from the time he's born, he says he recognizes that God has been there. He's brought him into the world. And as he's went through his youth and as he's went through his life, God has always been that rock and that fortress. He's been that refuge that he can hide in through it all. And that's the only way he has survived the situations and the trials and the trouble that has come his way. A rock and a fortress. A rock and a fortress. That's who God is, our wonderful Savior. Verse 9, he says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For when mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay in wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far away from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God, and I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. So he switches gears a little bit from reflecting on the past, from looking back over his life and recognizing God as his rock and his fortress, his place of safety, his place of peace where he can go in the midst of struggles and trials. And he kind of switches gears and he goes into, I would call it a prayer here in the middle part of chapter 71. So he switches from looking at the faithfulness of God in the past, and he starts to go into what I would call a prayer. And he has three things that he brings to God in this prayer. In verse 9, he says, cast me not off in time of old age. Then at the end of verse 9, he says, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Or you could probably say when I'm too old and can't get around or whatever. Don't forsake me in that time. In verse 10, he continues on and he talks about what his enemies can say about him. They speak against me. They lay in wait. They take counsel together. And then in verse 11, he says, the enemies are saying to themselves, God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He said that's what his enemies can say. That's what his enemies might be saying about him. But he cries out in verse 12 and he says, oh God, be not far from me and make haste for my help. He asks that God would confound and consume his adversaries and to cover them into reproach. And then he says, I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. So he cries out to God and says, in my old age, as I grow old, don't move away from me. Continue to listen. Continue to hear. Continue to help me. as I go through this time. Probably, if we're honest as Christians, as believers, there's been times in our lives where we wonder if God is just done listening. Maybe God's tired of me. Maybe God's given up listening to me or hearing what it is. He led me into the midst of this struggle, whatever it is. Maybe he's just done. Maybe he's given up and there's nothing left. I thought of Elijah after his victory on Mount Carmel. We know the story, I think, but Elijah on Mount Carmel, the fire rains down and it licks up the stones, the water, the ground. Everything has disappeared. The prophets of Baal were taken out and they were killed by the righteous people. And they were destroyed. And then right after that happens, the queen comes back to him. I think it's Jezebel, if I have it right. In 1 Kings 19, she comes back to him and she says, by tomorrow this time, you are going to meet the same fate as those prophets did, if I can help it, right? She's saying, by tomorrow I'm going to catch you and you're going to be the same as the prophets. You're going to be dead as well. And what happens to Elijah? It's a tremendous victory. It's a tremendous, a powerful display of God's power for all the people of Israel to see. The prophets were taken out and destroyed because they were proven wrong in trying to worship Baal. God showed himself very powerfully. But Elijah, after the queen threatens him, it tells us that he goes out into the desert and he laid down under a tree. And he had one request of God. And it was simply, I can't think of the exact words that he used, but basically to the extent of, God, I've done everything I can. The people don't listen. The queen's going to kill me. Just end my life right here. Let me die so that I can be done and I can get out of this mess and I can go from there. But what happens? The scripture goes on and it tells us that, I believe it's two or three different times, an angel comes down and ministers to him and feeds him and gives him food to drink, or water to drink and food to eat, rather, I should say. Two different times it says, because the strength, the journey is going to be too hard for you. You're not going to make it through. You need to go eat. So he goes back to sleep, and again, he's woken up by an angel that tells him pretty much the exact same thing. You need to get up, you need to eat, you need to rest so that you can feel better for the journey that's coming ahead. And we all know, obviously, the rest of the story. Elijah continued to live a very powerful life, doing much for the kingdom of God. Never assume that God has left you behind. In the midst of struggle, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of loss, in the midst of whatever it is that we're facing as we go through life, never assume that God has left you behind. That's what the writer didn't assume, that God left him behind in the midst of all these things that happened. He could have said, it's so hard, it's so difficult, God's forgotten about me, I'm just going to give up on life. But rather, as he looked back across his life, he recognized all the different times that God was his rock and his fortress, and God protected him and he shielded him. He delivered him out of the hand of the wicked and did all of these wonderful things in his life. And I think the same is true for us as believers this morning. As we go through life, it's overwhelming sometimes, and we're worn out and we're tired. But take a moment, perhaps, and just look back over your life at all the times that God came through and God was faithful and God walked beside you and God gave you the strength and whatever you needed for the exact time that you were in. Sometimes it doesn't always happen on our time or like we think that it should. Sometimes God, you could say, moves in his own way and in his own time. But God is always there and God is always faithful through every situation. The last section, verse 19, says, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. So he goes from reflecting on God as his refuge to praying and bringing God his fears and his sorrows and all of those things. And he comes to the end of the passage and he starts to praise God for all the wonderful things that he's done in the past and all the wonderful things that he's going to do in the future. In verse 15, he says, my mouth will show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. He says, for I don't know the numbers thereof. I can't even number all of your great righteousness and salvation. So I'm just going to speak it to those I come in contact with. In verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. In verse 18, he says, now also when I'm old and gray-headed, it's all right to have gray hair. He says, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Older folks, you have a mission, and that is to show the younger generations the strength and the power of God and what he's done in your life and what he's continuing to do in your life as you go through life. God's been faithful in the past. We know that God doesn't change. He doesn't give up on us. He's been faithful in the past. So as we go through the hard times, let's not forget that he's going to be faithful in the future as well. He's given us a place of refuge, a place where we can go. We can run to God as a refuge in the midst of struggle. We can go to him. We can pray honestly in the midst of hard time. Maybe it's different for you. I'll just expose myself this morning. But sometimes when I'm in the midst of struggle and just spiritual dryness and feeling very empty and very poured out and like I don't have anything left anymore, what do I do when I come to God in prayer? I still pray the same prayer in the same way and I say the same thing over and over and over again. Why? And the question that I ask myself is, why do I do that? We obviously don't question God's majesty and his power and all of those things. But I think sometimes we're in the midst of those struggles. We simply need to come to God and ask him the why question. God, where are you? Why am I in the midst of this situation? God, show yourself powerful in my life. Give me the energy, the strength, the courage, whatever I need for this situation. Give it to me so that I can continue on faithfully. I think we can remind God of his faithfulness in the past and that we know he's going to be faithful in the future as well. Again, we have to be careful in our prayers, but like I said, for myself, sometimes I think I'm just too weak to actually be honest with God and tell him what's going on in my life and what I'm feeling at the moment and what I need for each and every day. We know that God already knows, but I think God still wants us to pray honestly and open with him and tell him what it is that we're missing as we're going through life. So we can go to God as a refuge. We can pray honestly in our weakness. And lastly, we have a responsibility to declare his faithfulness to the next generation. That's the God we serve. How great, how powerful, how awesome is he? There's so much stuff we could talk about. I feel like I've not maybe done justice to the passage this morning, but verse 3 is kind of the promise that I've tried to cling to in my own life. And I think you can as well. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me. Come down and save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. a place of safety and a strong shelter that we can always turn to. I think maybe what I'll do is I'll have a word of prayer. Then I'll turn the time back over to John for our sharing time. And then perhaps we'll do our small groups right after that. And then maybe when we kind of do the dismissal prayer, we can pray for Jay's and for, I think, maybe Josh and Henry as well as they get ready to go to Belize. So maybe we'll do that kind of right at the end in our closing prayer as well. So let's pray, and then I'll turn the time to Brother John. John, Brother God, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness in our lives. God, as we go through hard times and struggle and we have situations that arise in our lives, God, I just pray that we would remember your faithfulness. God, I pray that we would never forget to turn to you as a rock of safety and a refuge where we can go and we can hide and we can simply wait for the storm to pass in your goodness. God, as we come to you in prayer, help us to pray openly, to pray honestly with you. And I pray that we would never forget to tell others of your faithfulness. God, we know you've been faithful in the past. We know that you will be faithful in the future as well. Continue to hold us with the right hand of your righteousness. God, be with us throughout the remainder of our service here this morning. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.